Next is Deanne Elliott.
So it was 2009, and I was preparing for a job interview. Objectively, it was a small job. It was working part-time for only a few weeks doing some internet research for a nonprofit here in the Boston area. But subjectively, for me, it was a big deal. I had been a stay-at-home wife and mom for a dozen years, happily so. And before that, I had worked for a dozen years as a college administrator. So it had been more than 20 years since I had had a job interview. And since that time, many, many things had changed. Of course, there was the internet. But for me personally, I had also lost my eyesight in the intervening years. So this was my first job interview in 20 years. And it was also my first job as a person who was blind. Fortunately, I had had some excellent rehabilitation training through the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind, through the Carroll Center for the Blind, through the Seeing Eye.
This meeting is being recorded. This meeting is being recorded.
A very lovely black lab guide dog named Emmy. And I was using all of my training to prepare for this interview. I used my assistive technology to update my resume. Then I printed off some extra copies and hard copy just to be sure. I dusted off a leather carrying case that I had had for many years before. I chose my clothing carefully. We planned out our route, and I was going to walk with my dog to the bus stop, and we were going to take the bus to a train station, switch to the subway, ride four stops, and then navigate our way up to the street and walk to an address that I had memorized. So I groomed my dog very carefully before leaving so she'd be extra shiny and professional looking. When I got off of the subway at the Park Street station in downtown Boston, I was feeling relieved. My confidence was rising. I had passed the most difficult part of what I thought was going to be our commute into work. And now we were in the home stretch. I just had to get up to the street and then navigate to this address. And as my dog and I were walking across the Park Street platform, I heard a stranger's voice say, "Excuse me, ma'am, are you aware that you have dog business on your shoe?" Now, this was something that I had not prepared for. I was a relatively new dog user. So I had my extra pickup bags, check. I had my dog treats, check. I had my references, check. But I didn't have a paper towel. I didn't have any wet wipes. And, well, note to self for the future. I was trying to envision how I would take care of this problem because I didn't know where there was a public restroom nearby. And although I had left a little bit of time as a buffer, I hadn't left a great deal of time. And I was trying to envision trying to find a public restroom and then leaning against a bathroom wall in my good interview clothes and trying to clean my shoe with a cloth when I couldn't see what I was doing while holding onto my dog's leash and trying to keep her from eating a sandwich that someone had thrown in the trash. And I realized that because this was a job dealing with people with disabilities, I didn't want the interviewer to think that I couldn't take care of my dog, especially if my dog was going to be in the office in the future if I were hired. So all of this went through my mind in about 2 seconds. And the man must have seen the look on my face, because he said, "Wait here." And then he disappeared. And a moment later, he returned and he had a fistful of paper napkins that he had pilfered from one of the food vendors on the platform. He then did a thing that surprised me. He got down on one knee, almost as if he were proposing. And then he began in a way that I could only describe as biblical. He started to carefully wipe the dog business off of my boot with these napkins. I was so stunned by his kindness. Then I thanked him, but he did what those sighted people sometimes do, where they just leave and you don't know that they've left. So I thought he was probably going to find a trash barrel and I would just wait for him to return. So I waited a minute, 2 minutes, and a train came and a train left and another train came and a train left. And the people on the platform went here and there. And I realized he wasn't coming back. He was just someone who had kind of materialized out of nowhere, did this good deed, and then disappeared back into the crowd. So time was running short, and my dog and I went on our way. We navigated up to the street level. I got on time to the interview, and I think the experience kind of lifted my spirits, because instead of maybe being jittery about how I'm going to explain the big gap in my resume, or how am I going to field the question that's questionably legal, I was just feeling a little bit light. I had noticed that it was a beautiful sunny afternoon, and I was out walking with my dog. There were people all around, and this nice man had done this really nice thing for me. And I think it must have done something to my mood, because maybe I was looking a little bit shiny too. And I got the job. And then that job later led to another job about 6 months after that. So when I was walking back after the interview, I passed through the Park Street station again. Of course, there was no possibility I'd find that man. But I remembered something that a blind friend of mine, had told me back when I was first dealing with vision loss. And she said, no matter where you go in the world, you can always count on the kindness of strangers. And I was frankly a little bit skeptical, because I had been a sighted person most of my life. I had driven a car for 20 years. I had never helped a blind person when I could see. I don't know, maybe I felt like I was imposing, or they might not welcome, feel, you know, unhappy by my assumption that they couldn't do for themselves, or maybe I was just shy, or perhaps just self-absorbed and not noticing that there are other people around me. But when people approached me, I was always really humbled, because I recognized the effort that it took, assuming it's done in a respectful kind of way, the effort that it took for them to come forward and say something to me. And I know there are many blind folks, including people in this call, who have been blind for many years longer than I, and have outstanding skills and can hear parked cars and things like that. But I am not one such person. So I feel like my blind skills are solid, but it's not my native language. I will always kind of speak blindness with an accent. And so I welcome that bit of assistance now and again. So in this case, I felt like this man was kind of like a guardian angel. And in this case, he just came in the form of a mild-mannered, middle-aged Green Line commuter, and did this very nice act of kindness. So now I think I'm a believer. So thank you.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Good job. That's great.
Yay. Yay.